Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text today is taken from the 14th chapter of Luke, verse 11, where Jesus said, "Everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." Your friends in Christ. Dwight L. Moody was a widely known evangelist in the late 1800s. People came from around the world to attend his Bible conferences in Northfield, Massachusetts. One year, a large group of pastors from Europe were among those who came, and they were given rooms in the dormitories of the Bible school there. And as was the custom in Europe, the men put their shoes outside the door of their room, and they expected them to be cleaned and polished by servants during the night. Well, of course, here in America, there were no servants in the American dorm. But as Dr. Moody was walking through the halls that day, and he was praying for his guests in the conference, he saw the shoes and he realized what had happened. He mentioned the problem to a few of his students, but none of them offered to help. Without another word, this great evangelist gathered up those shoes and took them back to his own room where he polished every one. Moody told no one what he had done, but a friend came to visit, and he interrupted in the middle of Dr. Moody shining his shoes, all these shoes, and this man helped finish the task, and later he was the one who told the story. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the King of Heaven, had the right to receive honor and praise and worship. Yet to be our Savior, he laid all of his privileges aside, and he became a lowly servant. The Gospel of Luke tells us of an occasion that led Jesus to speak about the truths expressed in Proverbs 25 about exalting oneself. As a guest in the house of a prominent Pharisee, Jesus notes how the guests would pick the places of honor at the table, and he uses this opportunity to tell a parable that teaches about humility. He then follows this with the words to his host to teach selfless service. Dear friends, we also do well to listen to Jesus. In the latter part of Jesus' ministry, the Pharisees and teachers of the law were opposing him fiercely. As a part of the attempt of the Pharisees to trick him, Jesus was invited to the home of a prominent Pharisee. Now, this was not an act of kindness on the Pharisees' part, even though on the surface it might appear to be that way. Jesus was invited for the purpose that they could watch him carefully. See, the scribes and Pharisees wanted to catch Jesus in something that he said or something that he'd done that was amiss so they could discredit him and destroy his ministry. This dinner took place on the Sabbath day. And Jesus often used the Sabbath day to teach the scribes and Pharisees about the purpose and the meaning of the Sabbath, as well as to point out their own hypocrisy. You see, Jesus wasn't only being watched here. Jesus himself was watching them. He wanted to bring them to repentance. Jesus had a purpose for going to this dinner. He wasn't just blindly walking into a trap. Verses 2 through 6 of Luke 14 records a miraculous healing that Jesus performed on a man with dropsy. Dropsy was a swelling caused by water pockets collecting in the blood tissue, in the body tissue. Some in those days believed this disease was caused by immorality, by being a sinner. As little time passed at this special gathering, Jesus could not help but notice something. how the Pharisees and the experts in the law were pushing forward to get the places of prominence at the table, to get the place of honor next to the person, the Pharisee, that was the host of the house. This kind of action on their part was not unusual. They did it all the time. And Jesus repeatedly mentioned in the Gospels, the teachers of the law and Pharisees loved the places of honor at banquets and the most important seats in the synagogue. The scribes and Pharisees had so much pride. They thought so much of themselves. They followed the laws of God so perfectly. So they thought. They even went beyond the minimum requirements. They were far more perfect than anyone else in their society. If you didn't believe that, just ask them, they would tell you. They had no true humility. They only sought after their own good and what would elevate themselves before others in society. However, true humility seeks the lowest place. We have Jesus who showed us what true humility is. As Paul describes in Philippians 2, Christ Jesus, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus, as we just confessed, is very God of very God. Yet where was he born? He was placed in a feeding trough for animals, a manger. Jesus had no place to lay his head, the Gospels tell us, even though he created all things. The Bible tells us, though he was rich, yet for our sakes, Jesus became poor. As we look and examine our lives, we will see that we have so much to humble us. If we truly examine our lives, we will see that we do sin. We sin every day in many different ways against God's will, not the least of which are self-seeking kinds of sins. We have no claim that we are any better than these scribes and Pharisees, for we are also all sinners. We all fall short of God's glory. Let us examine ourselves by asking some questions, and to ourselves think of the answer. Do we fear that what we give will not be noticed? That the good things we do will not be noticed? Do we get upset when we are not recognized for our goodness, for our gifts, our offerings, for the sacrifices that we make? Are we afraid we will not receive the credit we think we have coming? Do we show partiality toward the wealthy or the important, as many show to the scribes and Pharisees? Do we help only those whose help we can expect in return? Do we often use excuses as to why we don't or can't help that person? Do we want to think of things to go our way? We can indeed be self-seekers, that is, exalting ourselves, oftentimes in very subtle ways. Sometimes we seek after ourselves without realizing what we are doing. However, after honest self-examination, we will realize that we are sinners. And we too seek our own interests like these Jewish leaders did in our text. We could never come to God based on our own merits, based on our own goodness. We cannot come to God in any other way as beggars. Paul realized this truth too when he wrote, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. Now, this letter was written to Timothy by Paul in the mid-60s, we think. It was toward the end of his life. Would we describe the Apostle Paul as the worst sinner? Look at what he did. He proclaimed the gospel of Jesus all over the Mediterranean world. He started many churches. He was a strong leader of the entire church. And yet he realized his sinfulness, saying, I am the worst sinner. He knew that before a holy God, he was less than a beggar. He needed Christ to save him. And what about the tax collector? We read about him earlier in the gospel lesson. He stood at a distance. He wouldn't even look up to heaven. He beat his breast and he said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Our stance before God is not like our stance in the world. In life, we compete for many things. Grades for scholarship, job positions, money, prestige in the community, honor, recognition. Before God, however, all people are in the same position and cannot get out of that position by our own efforts. God does not show partiality. He does not show favoritism to the rich and powerful or to the recognized and the acclaimed. Listen to this biblical truth in Romans. There is no difference. For all have sinned, and all fall short of the glory of God, and are justified freely by God's grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. And Peter, who spoke at the Jerusalem Council, about how all people are saved, Jew and Gentile, he said, we believe it is through the grace of our Lord Jesus that we are saved, just as they are. We're all in the same boat. We are all sinners and we all need forgiveness. We have no reason to exalt ourselves above anyone else. Jesus died for the sins of all people, for rich and poor, for the important and not so important, for the impressive and not so impressive, for the talented and the not so talented. Jesus died for our sins of pride and our sins of exalting ourselves. It's only through faith in the merits of Jesus the Christ that we receive forgiveness for our sins. Through faith in Christ, we are lifted up from sin and death and hell and from the rat race of sinful humanity, trying to walk over people to get ahead or to get one's own way. Through faith in Christ, we are lifted up from all that, and we are given the righteousness Christ won for us. Paul writes to the man who does not work, but trusts God, who justifies the wicked. His faith is credited as righteousness. And to the Corinthians, it is because of God that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. We have nothing to boast about except what our God has done for us, and in us, and through us. Our God has given us Christ's righteousness by faith. Our God has given us the Holy Spirit to create saving faith in us. Our God has given us the Spirit to keep us in faith as He uses the Word of God, the Bible, and the sacraments, baptism, and communion. Our God has given us eternal life now and hereafter in heaven. He gives us everything. What beggars we are. Yes, indeed, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. This is true humility. Jesus said, everyone who exalts himself will be humble, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. And we say, Lord, give us a humble attitude, for we know that we are redeemed sinners. with the faith that clings to Jesus' righteousness alone and not ours, with the faith that keeps us humble and always looking to Jesus and looking to His Word, we will be enabled to have unselfish thoughts. Jesus continued, He looked at His host, the Pharisee, and He said, When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers, your relatives, or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. Jesus has a word of instruction to His host. And the point of Jesus' words is not to discourage or even prohibit hospitality toward friends or relatives or neighbors. But He is warning against giving only when there's hope of receiving something in return. When inviting a rich neighbor, one may even have the false motive of receiving in return more than one actually gave. Such are the lives of those who seek their own interests only. They do things to get things. You wash my back, I'll wash yours. However, humble Christian people act differently. There was once a certain Christian lady who is described as trusting people and having a hard time saying no to those who ask for help. She gave money, she gave rides to people in need. In fact, she was known for her service to other people. She established homes for children with special needs, and she also helped families with children of special needs. In her congregation, she taught and helped various people in her church in a multitude of ways. She administered the congregation's fund to help members and to help non-members too. She oversaw a monthly food distribution program. This lady was selfless in her service. She walked humbly with her God. Now, to be sure, her actions did not save her. Jesus had already done that. But her actions described how God saved her and how God worked through her to help others, much like He does with you all. Jesus said to His host, When you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. We do not give of ourselves because we earn salvation or earn some reward in heaven. No. The reward in heaven is one of grace, not merit. We do not earn any reward God may give us in heaven. He gives by grace alone, not because we deserve it. The Lord will acknowledge the fruits of faith and repay in mercy and grace. Although there may not be a repayment during this life, such works of love and works of kindness will not be forgotten in the day of our Lord. So God gives rewards to those who seek no rewards. Jesus in this text warned against seeking only our own interests. He encourages us to have a humble attitude, to have unselfish service. And as we realize and confess our sins and come to our Savior in faith, we will have true humility. Furthermore, our love and our gratitude for our Savior will show itself in works of love for our fellow man. So we pray, Lord, empower us to seek not self, but to seek the righteousness of Christ. And Lord, enable us not to use people, but to serve them. Give us true humility. In Jesus' name. May the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.